Good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of your smiling faces. And you know, that's one of the nice things about modern technology. I can see right into your front room there and see your smiling face. Well, not really. And some of you are quite glad because you don't have your makeup on. But that's okay. God bless you as you hear the Word of God today. I'd like to begin with a prayer because I believe that God wants to take His words uttered through His servant and bring about a spiritual transaction with you. Today is another day of divine appointment where God will speak something into you and release something into you through the word that you hear. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to declare your word today and to receive it and to receive what is inherent in your word. Your life, your power, your healing, your help. Thank you today for what you're about to do in our lives across the globe as we hear the word today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Well, I'd like to speak to you this morning about the conversation of faith in the time of trial and testing. And probably another way of saying it is, the power of your internal conversation. The power of your internal conversation. I'd like to begin with Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26 from the New King James, which kind of, at least in a sense, addresses our time. It says, "And on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Then it says, "Men's hearts failing them from fear." It doesn't say virus, and there are sadly, tragically, people who are losing their lives from the virus. But this context says men's hearts fail physically, emotionally, spiritually, from fear. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of things which are coming on the earth. And so this is really the context of our message, is the conversation that we have in this great time of pressure and trial and testing. The conversation that's going on, whether you like it or know it or consciously engage, you're in a conversation. It's like some of you will be watching this on your phone or your television or your iPad, whatever it is, you've joined this expression of words. And in that context, you will have your own thoughts. And so we are having a cyber conversation, if you will, but nevertheless, one that points to something so spiritual and powerful and significant that we all need to grasp in our time. Because words have incredible significance. Just a reference in Deuteronomy 32:47, it says, God speaks of His words. He said, "These aren't just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land." It's not medication, tablets, supplements, opportunities, money. By words, you will live long in the land. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you," the words of Jesus remaining inside of us, living, being expressed and turned over and meditated. Well, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given you. Just simply, if you have this internal retention and process and embrace and expression of Jesus' words, you become a powerful person. Not a weak victim, but a powerful person. You know, a couple of days ago, I was in Sainsbury's in the grocery store. And you know, it's a common experience everywhere around the globe as I talk to friends and people that I know. And you know, you have to queue outside with 2 meters distance between every person, and so you're queuing and nobody's talking and lots of people are wearing masks and gazing furtively around thinking that maybe a virus might jump on them, and you can sense the anxiety and the fear that's in society. And interestingly enough, I started learning a new brand of English. I haven't gotten very far in it, I must admit. It's called Maskolian. And it's basically a brand of English when somebody tries to talk to you who's very concerned that you get the message and they're wearing a mask. And so the security guard comes by and he goes, and I didn't have any idea what he said. So I just kind of nodded, and he went to the next person and said. And so after he was gone, I turned around and I looked to the person behind me, and I'm not wearing a mask, and I said to the person who behind me was wearing a mask, and they said, so I was still clueless as to what was going on. But it was kind of a humorous note in all of this anxiety and fear that is swimmingly a part of our environment. And as this is just going into the store, well, to get back to the story, as I came out of the store with a few items, I happened to be walking next to a fella, and he had his ear pressed to his phone, and I heard him say in a really loud voice, "Well, I'm afraid I have some very bad news for you. I have started developing a cold and a cough, and I don't know what it is." I knew if he had said that loudly as he was saying it outside in the store, he'd have had people fleeing from him. And, you know, we live more and more in a world of words. As we get bombarded, if we choose, by the 24-hour news with all the words of this world system about all the terrible and potentially terrible things of our world every day, every hour. And the internet is full of the same. However, I understand the internet does have some sites that produce from a Christian source things that are encouraged and valuable and good and wonderful. But the internet per se is full of words. Words that speak of impending disaster and speculation about worse things to come, shaming and blaming, comparing, tearing down and accusing. And it's interesting, journalists have unashamedly claimed to be the opinion shapers of our time, not the word of him who cannot lie. And because of the current crisis and lockdown, we are hearing more words, usually negative, than ever in human history. We have access points to getting all these words. And they come at you and they, well, if this represents the internet and all social media, those words come again and again and again and again, and they hit your head and they hit your mind until eventually it seeps into your spirit. Into your spirit. Once negative words seep into your spirit, they've changed your spiritual state. Well, let's back up for a moment. What's behind this great torrent of words? I'd like to call it really a war of words. It actually started in the Garden of Eden, this war of words. It was God's words versus Satan's words. This kind of helps us get a context for the significance of this internal conversation that we are involved in. God's words versus Satan's words. You see, at the first, there were really only two major voices in the garden, besides Adam and Eve. But the two significant, life-shaping voices in the Garden of Eden were God's words and Satan's words, believed these external voices, released the power of life and death into the earth and its population. And the subjects, Adam and Eve, they simply had to believe those words and subsequently act on them. Those words became the truth that set them free, or the lies that sentenced them and all of mankind to death, pain, fear, and shame. And it all started with a war, a contest, a war of words. And today, at this point in our history, the war of words is hotter than ever. You see, there are two spirit-filled kingdoms, and both are engaged or connected to or accessed by the exercise of faith. You know, I didn't always realize this as a young man, but I remember a very strong message I heard as a teenager about evil curiosity, which started in the garden, by the way. And later on in my journey, I met a Christian priest who had, by his conversation with me, had told me that he was studying the occult. And he was really doing this in-depth study and research of the occult. And I thought at that time, this didn't seem like a good idea. And sure enough, it wasn't long until I heard he had left the ministry and gone into the occult full time. Filling himself with the wrong words and the power that comes with those words, he had crossed over internally and finally behaviorally into the land he had come to live in, the land of evil. It was accessed by the use of his faith. You see, the spirit realm is an invisible realm that's engaged or connected to by our faith. Let's just break it down very simply. Number one, God is a spirit, the Bible tells us, and the devil is a spirit. Both of them are invisible. Their power and their influence can only be accessed or engaged by believing. And whether you use your spirit knowingly or ignorantly to believe, once you start believing, you've entered the spirit realm. That's the spirit realm. You can only access it by believing. If you believe in something that is invisible, your faith activates that realm to your life. And you've invited participation and interaction and conversation and even transaction with those who occupy that space. And so we understand this in a positive sense, really, in our salvation. Romans 10 says, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. What is that word? It's the word of salvation. Somebody expressed God's eternal word to you. The message that Christ died on the cross for you, that he died in your place, that you were a sinner by birth. You had no hope and no help in this world unless you chose to believe that God has a son and he died on the cross for you. And when you chose to believe something you could not see with natural eyes, you had no history of walking with Jesus as he walked the earth, but you chose to believe some words that came into you. They came into you. It was those words that when you believed in your heart and you spoke them, you confessed him with your mouth, you entered into a spiritual realm. A transaction took place, and the redemptive work of God came and transformed your life on the inside forever. We understand this simple transaction based on hearing and believing words. It was your first significant conversation with your Creator and your Redeemer. Well, the Bible says it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And so what you believe, you speak. What you believe, you speak. And when you believe what you speak, whether you realize it or no, there is a spiritual transaction taking place. Because what you believe puts you into the spirit realm. That's the realm where the supernatural can take place, whether it is of God or of the devil. And so God has really a simple formula for us, because he's concerned about our inner life. If I could just give it to you in five simple points. God's simple formula for all of us is read right. You got to read right. You got to read the right stuff. There's a lot of stuff out there that's not the right stuff. You got to listen right. Put your ear to places that the words you hear are going to make a difference in the kind of person that you are. And I want to say to you today that if you read right, listen right, then you can think right. So you read right, you listen right, you think right, according to Philippians 4:8, and then you learn to speak right, you will do right. You'll do right. Simple formula: read right, listen right, think right, speak right, do right. You can't expect to do right and go where you ought to go if you don't do those other things first. It all starts with listening and reading. You know, all of us are getting so many words per day. You need to ask yourself, what's the spirit substance of what you're getting? You say, well, Pastor, does every word have a spirit substance? If somebody said, here's a tomato sandwich, is that inherently evil or good? It's not necessarily inherently evil or good. But if I say, eat this sandwich and it'll kill you, I've introduced a moral, a right-wrong issue, because it provokes a warning. It evokes something that isn't just human or material. So if you are listening and reading right, it'll take you to a place that you want to go. If not, you'll go to a place you don't want to go. I like Psalm 119, verse 50, where it says, the promise, your promise, Lord, preserves my life. Your words, I take those words. I embrace those words. Those words become my words. They aren't just God's words. They're now my words. Actually, you know, Psalm 119 is a great summary of this whole message today. And you see, there are two conversations, just like there was in the garden. There are two conversations going on in the world today. There's the conversation of faith in God and His Word, or the conversation of fear, which is a form of faith, in the devil and his word. So let's first kind of break this down. God and man in conversation. John 6:63, Jesus said something. He said, the words I have spoken to you. He's telling us something important about words. The words I have spoken to you are spirit. I didn't say that. He said it. Words have, as part of their inherent makeup, when they come from God or the devil, they have a spirit makeup. The words I've spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. The words, conversely, the devil speaks to you, they're spirit and death. Spirit-spoken words are virtually spirit words, and they carry the life of the one who spoke them. And this world system is designed to prevent you from reading and hearing and meditating on spirit words that will give you the life of heaven. And it's designed to insert into your hearing and reading the other spirit words that carry fear, death, shame, and desperation. So how do you evaluate this. Well, what disturbs you? If you are disturbed, and that is you've lost your peace, then you can write it down somewhere. You're hearing and entertaining the wrong voice. God does not speak with the voice of fear. 63 times in the Authorized Version, the Bible says, fear not. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. And so God says, I want this conversation with you. I wanted the conversation in the garden, and I made a way to get it back. I made a way to get it back so that you and I could talk through your whole journey. Because through your whole journey, it isn't just words. In fact, when I send my son, I'm going to send him as a messenger. I'm going to call him the Word made flesh. So God is in conversation with humanity. Who's listening? Are you listening? Well, Satan is a spirit. He also speaks. And he speaks with the voice of fear, by putting thoughts into your mind that are negative and doom-filled and speculation. You know, you get some pain, you cough once and you think, oh, I must have the virus. The conversation has begun. And you know, you can't afford to carry on a conversation with the devil. If you do this unwittingly, unknowingly, you go where he wants to take you. Jeremiah 5:13 says, the prophets are but wind. This was a time in Israel's history when the prophets were not revealing God's word. And so the scripture says, the prophets are but wind and the word is not in them. So let what they say, God says, let what they say be done to them. They're not speaking my word, so let their doom that they are speaking be done to them. I didn't say that. God said it. It's important for us to capture the significance of our words. You know, some years back, there was a very much maligned saying, what you say is what you get. And it caused a great deal of controversy, and many people were critical of those who said this or chose to believe it. And it really wasn't often analyzed very deeply, in my opinion. But it is actually true. You see, it goes like this. Believers believe that if they offer prayer, which is words, spoken in faith, they would receive a supernatural response from heaven. That's in the Bible. 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15 says that if we ask anything according to His will, if we put some words to Him in faith, that's the only way you can come to Him and make a transaction. He that comes to God must come in faith. So believers believe if they offer words to God in faith, they make this transaction. This takes place, and whatever it is they ask for comes to them, and God Almighty works with the very process that He set up. He said, I want to see your heart of faith, and I want to hear your words of faith. And when I do, there's a release of the supernatural. And somehow, people thought it didn't work on the other side. You could say any negative words or bad words or faithless words, and that the devil wouldn't take advantage of that opportunity. You see, because you will, in the main, say what you believe. And so, the devil will take advantage. The devil speaks into people's minds. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why did you let Satan rule your thoughts to lie? And of course we know, he so believed in what he was doing, which was believing the words of Satan, that in the end, they produced what Satan always gives you in response to your faith in him. death. And so you can join the conversation with the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given us the spirit of fear, so there must be a spirit of fear. And you can join in this conversation. That's what I was listening to as I came out of the store, a man who was in conversation with the devil and with whoever else was on the other end of the phone. He was already saying, I've got some bad news for you. He wasn't saying, I think I just have some symptoms, or I have an attack, or this is just a common cold. This is just some nothing. He wasn't saying that. He says, I've got some bad news for you. He's already shifted down the road to believing that he was about to come down with coronavirus. You see, fear is based on a perceived threat. You get some information from this world. You get some thoughts that come into your mind. You get some symptom in your body. And the spirit of fear starts injecting more into your mind. You process this further and further. Soon the spirit of fear has a stranglehold on your spirit. And you're now locked in a battle for your life with the devil. You've unwittingly said, by carrying on this internal conversation, and sometimes even saying it to others, you've unwittingly said, Satan, I believe you. Come and do your stuff in my life, my body, my family. You know, there are so many people today that have been sucked into the vortex of fear, and their lives are internally devastated, and their path a path to external devastation. But I'd like to say to you, God's people, drink in the spirit of faith. With that same spirit of faith, the Bible says. And they learn to live in peace, and they're on the road. They're on the path of safety and blessing. And I want to just take a little pause for a moment here, because every nation, every church and every believer is constantly being bombarded now with all kinds of conspiracies and prophetic announcements. In fact, nations of the world are having to deal with this both spiritually and on the conspiracy level. There's tons of them out there, and a day doesn't go by then people aren't sending me the latest thing they've heard off the internet, the latest conspiracy theory and the latest prophetic announcement about the doom and the judgment and that's going on in our world. I'd like to say to you, unplug from all that. Unplug from all that and sit with your Savior and let Him speak the words of peace and hope and blessing and faith into you. Engage with that conversation, because oftentimes even religious people speak of negative things, and in the end, if you're not careful, you can think your life is going to go down the drain because you're on a path that's impossible to change. You say, but Pastor Rick, don't you think that the Bible does talk about some very earth-devastating events in the last? Yes, I do. The first scripture I read was the distress of nations. But I can say to you this, God will not lose the battle His Son came to win. The death and burial and resurrection of Christ, as we come to celebrate Easter, is that ultimately, when Christ returns, He's going to return victoriously for a blood-washed, beautiful bride that's healthy and strong. And so it's so important that you don't allow even well-intentioned people. And I'm amazed. It seems like coronavirus has spawned a million prophets, something that 2,000 or 6,000 years of human history hasn't been able to accomplish until now. Yes, there's prophecy in the Bible. But in the end, is the fruit of that word going to cause you to walk stronger and better? More victorious, more reaching out, more doing the works of Jesus, more being who God made you to be in Christ. You see, your confession is your inheritance. And we understand this very clearly from what happened in the Old Testament with Israel. And God promised them certain promises, and some people embraced those promises, other people didn't. So when they got next to the position of going into the land, the people pretty much said, no, 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 the coronavirus is going to kill us. We are like grasshoppers in the face of corona. There's nothing we can do. We can put a feeble mask on. We can have our 2 meters of distance, but we're going to die here. That's the words that come from the kingdom of darkness. God said, no, no. I have words of life, words of hope, words of blessing. You see, faith leads to positivity, which leads to breakthrough and blessing. Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, if you have faith, you can say. You can say. You can use some words. Words that come out of this faith-generating part of your being, your spirit, your heart. You can say to this mountain, you can say to corona, move! Move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And what I am very heartened to see and hear that some people have sent me are testimonies of people who have been miraculously healed from coronavirus. They were what people thought, what science said, was near the edge. They weren't coming back, but today they're strong and healthy. Let me tell you, our God is alive, and He's alive for you. He's alive in your country, in your situation, in your home, in your finance, in your body. He simply wants you to take His words and embrace them. And that's why it's so important to discern the conversation. Which conversation will I enter? I like Job 34, verse 2 says, hear my words, you wise men. Listen to me, you men of learning. For the ear tests words as the tongue tastes food. Let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good. You know, mind talk takes place all the time. All the time. But the mind talk that makes the difference is what the woman who had the issue of blood had going on the inside. In Matthew 9 and verse 21, the Bible says she said to herself, all of us talk to ourselves. We got this stuff going on. She said to herself, I know that's my Redeemer. I know that's my Healer. It wasn't something that she was hollering to everybody. It was an internal conversation. You know, that's why James 1 and verse 19, I know the context is larger than what I'm saying, but the Bible says we're to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Give yourself time to discern what is this? What's this conversation going on? Who am I engaging with in my mind talk? What am I saying in this internal conversation? And as I close today, I want to encourage you to get your shield of faith back up. The devil wants to kick you down, knock you down, give you every negative story, every story of a death, a disaster, a problem, and every symptom he can bring your way. He wants to do that until your conversation is so full of despair and darkness and hopelessness that you actually are inviting your own demise. Get your shield of faith, your shield of believing from Ephesians 6:16, and stop speaking rubbish because it feeds the virus of fear into your own spirit and your own soul, your own body, your own life. And to get this shield of faith back in position, let's just pause here for a moment and pray. And as we pray, I'd like you to engage with this prayer and let there be this spiritual transaction that as I pray and as you pray, we will be able to put our shield of faith back in place so we can quench every fiery word dart that the enemy sends. Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you for the promise that you do. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us for holding anything against anybody on this planet. And today we choose, Lord, to forgive all those that have hurt us, wounded us, attacked us, betrayed us, even some of the most terrible things. We choose today, not out of emotion, but out of faith and response to your grace and mercy to us. We choose to forgive them all, every single one of them. We will not walk in unforgiveness. We will not allow ourselves to live with the mortal wound of unforgiveness and bitterness. We let it go. We speak blessing on them today, as you commanded us to do. Love those who persecute you, who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. That's what you taught us. Today, Lord, we bless them. We bless them. We've forgiven them, and now we bless them. Thank you, Lord, for helping us walk in forgiveness so that we might walk with the shield of believing, the shield of faith. We might be strong in you and the power of your might. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that you've prayed that prayer, you've got your shield back in place. Make your declarations. Your words are powerful words. Throughout the Bible, God said to various individuals, I put my words in your mouth. Well, there's no point in God putting his words in your mouth if somehow his words in your mouth are different than the words in his mouth. What's the point? So his words in your mouth uttered in faith are as powerful as the words that come out of his own mouth. In your notes, I provide you with a number of scriptures there. I like what God says in the prophets. He says, he fulfills the predictions of his messengers. That's God's word coming through. You ought to be predicting your health and your prosperity and your blessing. You're not just going to survive the coronavirus. You're going to come out of this better in your relation to God, relation to your family, relation to the world, relation to the ministry, relation to evangelism, or a relation to the miraculous. In every way, this is what you are predicting. Because this is his word. His word. Speak to yourself and speak to others what you believe and not what you feel. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. You know, speaking in tongues is another example of spirit words that build up your faith. So let me encourage you, be a spirit-filled, spirit-talking, tongue-talking believer. You got more time than ever. Let it be going on. Let your English prayer or your own natural language prayer be going on. And when you're not praying in that language, pray in your heavenly language. And let your inner man, your spirit man, be built up in most holy faith. Make your declarations. And I want to close today with some declarations. According to Psalm 91 and verse 10, no plague will come near my home. That's your declaration. You say, but I already have some symptoms. No plague. Go against what has come against you or lie down and accept it. No plague will come to me, according to Psalm 91:10. According to Luke 10:19, no harm will come to me. They might fall 10,000 on my side, left and right, but no harm is coming to me. Say his words. According to 1 John 1 and verse 9, all my sins are forgiven, as I have confessed them all. You see, sometimes in the time of trial and testing, people think if they have some kind of great contest and trial they're undergoing, I must be inherently evil. The Bible says God is faithful to forgive you, to cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. And so once you've confessed it, it's gone, it's done, it's no longer a basis for anything except the blessing of God. So stop whacking yourself. That's helping out the devil. My sins are gone. My sins are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. According to Philippians 4 and verse 19, even though my business is shut down, I can't go to work, I don't have a job, I haven't been able to get universal credit, I haven't been able to do this or that, I have all that I need. Say what you believe, not what you see with natural eyes. According to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, I am amply supplied to be a great blessing to others through my generous giving. If you have two rolls of toilet tissue and your neighbor only has none, give them one or give them both. Do whatever he tells you. That's faith in operation. That's faith in operation. You know, in Matthew 9 and verse 8, according to your words, you have power and authority. You have power and authority. Your words are powerful. You need to say it to yourself today more than ever in this time and this season of great trial and the distress of nations. I have some power in my words. Otherwise, they're just human words. But if I have the words of God, his words are in me. And if I will say, if you will confess, if you'll speak, all of a sudden there's a power released. I want to encourage you today, start saying to the stuff that has come against you. Your words are powerful. According to Isaiah 61 and verse 3, I wear the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. I don't have to live as those who have no hope, but who have successively bought everything that Satan has to say. They've accepted it, and they live in that terrible dark place. But I can come, because I don't wear those clothes, and say, I have a new wardrobe for you. A new wardrobe, the garment of praise. Let us close in prayer. Father, thank you today that as we have heard the word of God today, that we will, by your grace, engage the conversation with you more and more. We'll recognize and discern the attempts of this world system governed by Satan to take us to a place that we were never meant to be. We will not engage in the conversation with him. We will discern the spirit of fear and we'll cast it down. We'll trample on our enemies, those spirit enemies. Today, as you are hearing this prayer, God wants you to be whole in your body, in your finance, in your family. He wants you to be strong in your work life, full of peace and confidence. No fear. No fear. And so today, I release healing to your body in Jesus' name. I command every lie of darkness to be dispelled from your body now in Jesus' name. be whole from head to foot in Jesus' name. I command the provision of heaven to come to you. Provision for yourself and your family and all those that you have interceded for. I release the peace of God that passes understanding to your spirit. You are not a victim. You are a victor. May God bless you this week as you continue your conversation with Him and share that conversation again and again and again with others. Amen. God bless you.